is a special report from ABC News. Trump stays on the ballot. I'm Daria Albinger.
I think it's a very big day for America. I think it's a very big day for liberty. And I think it's just a great day for this country.
Former President Donald Trump on today's decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, which will keep him on Colorado's Super Tuesday primary ballot. ABC News Supreme Court contributor Kate Shaw says the decision will also likely end all similar challenges in other states.
Colorado, Maine, Illinois. I think this opinion puts those to rest. At this point, none of those separate state decisions, whether by courts or by Secretary of State, as in Maine, to keep Trump off the ballot, can go into effect. So he will either be or remain on the ballot in every state. I don't think there's any way for a state to try to circumvent this ruling. At this point, any action has to be in the hands of Congress.
The High Court ruling just one day before Super Tuesday. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's U.S. House districts are staying as is after the state Supreme Court Friday turned down a request by Democrats to order new maps. Republicans hold six of Wisconsin's eight seats, and only two are considered competitive. The current districts were drawn by Governor Evers and later upheld by the state's high court. First Lady Jill Biden is warning about what Donald Trump would do about reproductive rights if he returns to the White House.
He's considering a national abortion ban. Donald Trump is dangerous to women and to our families. We simply cannot let him win.
Mrs. Biden was in Waukesha yesterday. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Madison the day after tomorrow. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A rally was held in downtown Duluth over the weekend, urging Minnesota residents to vote uncommitted in the Democratic primary this week. The rally was organized in an effort to send a message to President Joe Biden's administration that voters want the violence in Gaza stopped. Last week, a higher-than-expected number of Michigan voters said they were uncommitted in an effort to do the same. Organizers say the goal isn't to vote President Biden out of office, but to show that voters want him to push harder for a ceasefire. A maritime designation from the U.S. Department of Transportation has allowed Lake Superior College in Duluth to give students more opportunities. The designation will allow the school to train more new students and even current maritime employees in things like firefighting, welding, and repairs. Maritime officials hope the increased training will help bring more people into the field and address concerns about an aging and retiring workforce in the industry. It's now one of 50 schools nationwide to get the designation. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass. Eyes waiting. Started to wonder. Metamorphosis. Loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Brewers beat the Diamondbacks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rematch of last year's playoff series, and this time Milwaukee on top 10-4 over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Over the weekend, the Brewers' Rhys Hoskins, able to play some as the designated hitter for the first time since suffering a torn ACL a year ago while still with the Phillies. Hoskins on how soon will he be able to play at first base.
Today went well, but I've learned that it's always about how it goes tomorrow. So, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking soon, right? We're now in March. Got to get my legs underneath me and be able to play in the field. So I don't know the exact day, but I'm hoping soon.
College basketball, the Badgers with another loss, this time 91-83 to Illinois. They face Rutgers on Thursday. NBA, the Bucks holding a special Sunday practice session to work on some more of their defense.
Really just trying to get better at everything we've put in. You know, address some slippage areas.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a scattered shower or sprinkle possible by later this afternoon. Our high today, 45, with wind southwest becoming northwesterly at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 20. Tomorrow, sunshine, 44. By Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 47. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now, 37.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tune in Monday for a very special Devil's Advocates radio show. We got Chuck Quala coming in studio 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, taking your phone calls as well. It is Monday, March 4th, 2024. Glad to have you along at 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. A little freedom for you. How long we had that song since the very beginning, right, Mr. Zommers?
Since day one.
Since day one. Picking out freedom is our theme song. Very important, I think. So that's what we like to talk about here, freedom and truth, right? So there you go. Give us a call. Always glad to hear from you. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Before the break, we're going to play a bit, Mr. Zommers, once again here before we get to the calls. The Trumpster over the weekend. And here's the thing. You know, there are people, a couple of salty people now and again will say, geez, Todd, you're putting words in Trump's mouth. Not everybody is, you know, a MAGA person. There are a lot of other different kinds of Republicans out there. I actually believe that is true, that there is about 20 to 25% of good folks who call themselves Republicans yet that are not Trump people, that don't believe in Trump or Trumpism, and they're not going to vote for Trump in November. 20 to 25% of the Republican Party out there not going to vote for Trump in November, which is a huge problem for the Republican presumptive Republican nominee, which not a lot of people want to talk about. I do, because I know how it works. I've been in the game. Republicans have a huge problem when your nominee does not appeal to 20 to 25% of your base. Not just as an appeal, they say they're not going to vote for him. But I have said repeatedly on this show that my former party, after being a Republican for nearly 30 years, leaving in 2011 over voter suppression efforts, I've said, look, it is no longer the party of Reagan, of Eisenhower, of Lincoln, of Tommy Thompson. It is a party of Trump. And some people don't like it when I say that. They get salty. Well, here now, the presumptive Republican nominee, Donald Trump, saying on the campaign stand what the Republican Party of today is.
And they say, always trying to demean, well, MAGA really represents 48% of the Republican Party. No, it represents 96% and maybe 100%. We're getting rid of the Romneys of the world. We want to get Romneys and those out.
So there you go. Trump declaring that the current Republican iteration of the Republican Party is 98 to 100% MAGA. They have taken over the party. They kicked out Rhoda McDaniel, and now it's going to be Chris LaCivita, Trump's campaign manager, essentially, running the party, along with Laura Trump, Trump's daughter-in-law. It is the party of Trump, even according to him. 855 752-4842. Let's go to Brooklyn, Wisconsin. Peggy in Brooklyn, thanks for calling. Let's see.
Yes, I totally agree with you with Trump. He's totally out of control. But I don't get why we've been moving this back. I'm really sorry, but I honestly think we're going to have a huge, huge problem coming up here because we're getting way too close to elections.
A huge problem? How, Peggy?
I don't like saying this word, but we could have a civil war. I honestly think you're going to have a problem.
Regarding whether Trump is legitimately elected or Biden is legitimately elected, I don't believe necessarily it's going to be a full-out civil war like we've talked about in the past. I do think that's a pretty volatile word, but we have spoken on this show before that regardless of who wins in November, who legitimately wins, and either one right now could legitimately win, Trump or Biden, that how the losing side accepts the results, that...
Trump won't accept it.
Yeah, that could potentially, keyword potentially, could lead to a lot of unrest throughout America, not along necessarily geographic lines, but just chaos and unrest throughout America of how it comes down to how people are going to accept the results, right?
True. I have one more question
sure.
for you. So what do you think is going to happen to Wisconsin now that they shot down Evers' maps?
On the congressional side?
Yep.
We're going to get into that just a little bit here, but
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I actually think it was the right decision
I do too, but I'm kind of, will we get maps in place before this next election, you think? I guess that's my
question. The factual part is that the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled last week that the maps that we have now for the congressional correct. Boundaries will remain for the 2024 election. So that's done and over. That is set.
Oh, okay.
And as you noted, they are the maps that Governor Evers submitted prior, but it's important to note that those maps had to be under certain parameters of least change, which was set by the former conservative leading Wisconsin Supreme Court. So to put it in layman's terms, Governor Evers did the best he could to make them fair maps within the parameters that he was given by the former conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Those
lines will stay. The maps that we have for Congress will stay through this election. And then the new maps that were decided on legislative maps for state Senate or assembly, those maps will take effect this fall in 2024.
Perfect. That's what I wanted to know.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Peggy.
Yep.
Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Steven in Green Bay. Steven, thanks for calling back. What say you?
So let me see if I'm digesting what you just shared with the audience correctly. So if I'm a Republican in the Republican Party, and I do not, I'm one of those 25% that don't agree with Trump, Trump just basically by getting up there and saying that, he said, well, it's nice that you think you're Republican, but if you're not a MAGA, you're not a Republican. I think he just shot himself in the foot a little bit because the people that don't identify with MAGA, and you have some people on this show that don't really agree with everything he does, but they're still going to vote for him because they're conservatives and they don't want to vote for Biden. Mm-hmm. Well, he just said, well, if you're not 100% on the boat with me, you're not a Republican. If I was one of those 25%, I would be angry as you know what, that he just went out and publicly kicked me out of the party that I've been in.
Yeah.
I would not take too lightly about that.
I think that's a great point, Stephen, and I agree with you 100%. Thanks for calling back. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Stephen nails it on the head that Trump is making it clear that if you are not MAGA, you are not welcome in the Republican Party. And this is going to have repercussions, if it's handled right, for Republicans across the state. Every reporter, every journalist should be asking their state senator, their state representative, do you agree with that? Either play the comments or read them to him or her. Sitting state elected officials, state senators, state representatives should have to answer. Do you believe and do you support the words of Donald Trump that the Republican Party is now 98 to 100% MAGA? It's a very simple question, yes or no. Now, they will be reticent to answer it because they don't want to. Because they know, to Stephen's point, it's going to alienate 20 to 25% of their voters in their own base, in their own party. Let's give a listen to what Michael Steele, the former chairman of the Republican Party, National Republican Party, former chairman Michael Steele, responded over the weekend on a talk show to what Trump said, that cut we played, that 98 to 100% of Republicans or the Republican Party is now MAGA. Here's what Michael Steele, former GOP chair, had to say in response.
Game on, Trump. Game on. I've been in this party since 1976. If anyone is the biggest rhino, it's you. And we coming for you. So just so you understand, you drew the line, baby. Stepping up to it on a whole lot of Republicans out there, at least 40% or more, are stepping to that line too. So you just need to chill on that. What you got, y'all?
Oh, Alicia, Michael Steele putting Donald Trump on notice.
Just on notice.
He's having a little fun at that. Michael Steele seems to think there's more Republicans that are opposed to Trump closer to 40. I'm not sure about that. But I mean, there you have the former chairman, national chairman of the Republican Party, calling Donald Trump a rhino, which stands for Republican in name only. It's something that the conservatives like to trot out against any Republican like Mitt Romney or others who might be conservative or pragmatic. Basically, in the Trump world now, in the rhino or in the MAGA world, if you are not a Trumpster, you're a rhino. You're a Republican name only. But Michael Steele actually has it correct. That this current iteration of people calling themselves Republicans are not Republicans at all. They're not conservative. They're not against Russia, the old Soviet Union. They're not pro-democracy. They're everything that, nearly everything that the original and former Republican Party stood for. Michael Steele is absolutely correct. And again, this is the problem that Trump and Republicans are going to have come November. That you have a nominee at the top of the ticket in Donald Trump who is calling out and alienating a quarter of your own voters, not to mention independents or Democrats. You have to be able to keep your own party, your own voters together if you have any hope of winning a national or statewide election. And again, I think if Democrats handle this right, this could be valuable in Wisconsin by asking Republicans who are running for assembly or state senate, do you agree with Donald Trump? Do you agree the Republican Party is now 98 to 100% MAGA? They won't want to answer, but hold them to the fire. As my friend, former majority leader in the Wisconsin State Senate, Democrat Tim Cullen, taught me long ago and is fond of saying, when you're dealing with a politician, remember this. Any answer other than a yes is a no. And any answer other than a no is a yes. Very good advice indeed, particularly when dealing with MAGA. Welcome back. Talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court rejecting state congressional maps. Get your calls as well. It is a Monday, March 4th, along with Zomers. I'm All Ball. This is the Todd All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life. And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome.
I'm the one you need to know. I'm the map. If there's a place you gotta get, I can get you there, I bet. I'm the map.
All right, you're the map. I didn't know what we were doing there. Sorry. 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Hour number 2 of the show. I'm the map. What great song.
I'm the map.
What song is that?
That's the map song from Dora the Explorer.
Oh,
sure. Or they pull the map out of the backpack. Oh. I'm the map.
Dora the Explorer. That came along a little bit after me, but I'm familiar. Very good. Well, you're timely indeed, as the great Mike Lucas might say. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from last week. The Wisconsin Supreme Court on Friday. Maybe you were already off on your weekend, so thought we'd take a little time to just review this. On Friday, Wisconsin Supreme Court rejected a request to consider the state's congressional maps ahead of the next election, ensuring the current district boundaries will remain in place for 2024. Great call there earlier by Susan in Brooklyn. So to be clear, crystal clear, the Wisconsin Supreme Court already ruled prior that the legislative maps that Governor Evers had submitted, that those will be in effect for the legislative races, for your assembly and Senate races. There will be new lines, new districts for this year, both in the primary and in the general election for the state legislative maps. But for Congress, for your U.S. congressperson, the current maps that we have right now, those maps, because of the ruling on Friday, will remain for the 2024 election. Back to the Journal Sentinel story by Lawrence Andrea. The court's decision ends a last-minute push from Democrats to change the state's congressional maps after they successfully signed into law new legislative boundaries last month that weakened Republicans' grip on the state legislature. Quote, "This motion comes as no surprise after the court's new majority telegraphed its willingness to replace political power in the state of Wisconsin by overturning Johnson v. Wisconsin Election Commission," unquote, according to conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley, wrote in the order referring to the court's previous decision on the maps. Newly elected liberal Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz did not participate in a vote on the motion, writing Friday that she was not seated on the court when the underlying case was decided. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler joined Bradley in her concurring opinion rejecting the request to consider new maps. The decision came in response to a motion filed in January by the Democratic law firm Elias Law Group to the state Supreme Court, asking the court to reconsider the congressional lines ahead of the 2024 election. The group argued that new lines were warranted after the high court, when considering the legislative map challenge late last year, said it would no longer favor maps that minimize changes to existing boundaries lines, a theory known as least change approach. Stay with me. We're going to walk you through this. Wisconsin's current congressional district boundaries were, in fact, drawn by Evers and later approved by the, I'll add in here, conservative state Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court in March 2022 rejected the state's legislative maps, also drawn by Evers, but declined to block the congressional lines at the time. Democrats, however, argued in recent months that Evers's congressional maps were drawn under those now defunct least change constraints. The court in its decision did not directly address the theory, but Bradley and Ziegler, in their concurrence, said that the liberal majority's, quote, reckless abandonment of settled legal precedent, unquote, in the December legislative maps case, on which the motion was based, quote, incentivizes litigants to bring politically divisive cases to this court regardless of their legal merit, unquote, unquote. So let me put this down again in slightly more digestible terms here. So again, just to review, that the former conservative court said, look, you know, we're not going to allow these kind of least change approach maps. Or the current court said this, the current liberal court. So we're not going to allow this quote unquote least change approach. And that's why they reversed the legislative boundaries. Boy, I can't talk. I only do this for a living, folks. So then that's why this more liberal group, the Democratic group, said, hey, okay, so you did this way on the legislative maps. We want you to do the same thing on the congressional maps. Janet Protasiewicz rightly recused herself because she said, hey, I wasn't on the court when this original decision was made, so I'm going to recuse myself. Great decision, right decision. And so the current liberal court said, we're not going to, because the conservatives here said we're not going to do anything. So we're going to keep the current boundaries this November for congressional maps. So I think it was the right approach. Because if they had gone along with this, number one, if Protasiewicz had not recused herself, there would have been all kinds of backlash. And I think this just shows that Janet Protasiewicz is a thoughtful jurist. That she's not there. I mean, it would have been very easy for her just to do for political reasons to say, you know, forget it. I'm gonna be on this and decide it no matter what, even though I probably shouldn't. That would have been a political decision by Janet Protasiewicz. She did the right thing and recused herself. So therefore, the court basically said, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said, we're going to keep the current congressional maps the way that they are. It gets very confusing. I get that. And obviously confusing for Toddie once in a while to talk about it. But I think this was the right decision based on Janet Protasiewicz recusing herself. So to review, legislatively, state Senate and assembly, we're going to have new maps come November. Also for the primaries. For congressional maps, we're going to have the same maps as ever before. And that means that really the only two competitive races here are the third for do-nothing Derek Van Orten in the third congressional district on the western side of the state, and also in the first, where you have Brian Stile in the first congressional district, Janesville, Beloit, that area. Those are the two that are going to be, you know, competitive. I think Democrats have a better chance of knocking off Van Orten than they do Stile, but we'll see. Still a lot of time. People are still getting to know candidates. And we'll see what happens. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Off the text line, Chris here listening on WMDX. Dora the Explorer systematically making your children dumber since the year 2000. Really? That seems like a harsh comment.
I think some of it is kind of rough, I think. But if... It's a good bilingual show.
Yeah.
I'll give it that. You know, there's a lot of Spanish words that I think kids in America in my age and younger know because they heard it on Dora.
And yeah, you know, was, I think, one of the first Latina cartoon characters that really was like, you know, the kids can relate to. I think Dora the Explorer is great. Also, WAUK, only progressives would do that, and that was wrong to do. Okay. I'm not exactly sure what their meaning there, but okay. We'll read that comment as it came across. If you want to text us, you can do so on the Civic Media app. It is available on your app store, on your Apple or Android device. Simply put in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. Takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. Come back and talk about national spokespeople for Biden and Trump in Wisconsin over the weekend. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Tuesday at 8 a.m. for my regular conversation with Sandy Williams. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We Energies expects to spend about $335 million to build electrical infrastructure to serve Microsoft's data center in Mount Pleasant. Data centers are massive users of electricity. The U.S. Energy Department says data centers use as much as 50 times the energy of a similar-sized office space. Data centers run around the clock to support cloud computing and other data-intensive applications. The Wisconsin legislature's new district maps are creating openings for Democrats. Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein says she's hearing from a lot of people who want to run for office.
I am thrilled. We've got great candidates all over, and with Trump at the top of the ticket, and with Tammy Baldwin and her numbers, it's going to be a great year.
That's Hesselbein at a WISP politics luncheon last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Nurses at Ascentia Health's Second Street Clinic in Duluth have officially voted to join the Minnesota Nurses Association. Organizers of the union drive are hoping for a bigger say in wages, work conditions, patient care standards, and nurse retention. They filed for a union election in January after nurses at Ascentia Health's First Street Clinic voted to unionize and voted unanimously to join the union on Thursday. Nurses at the Alena Health Cancer Institute also voted to join the Minnesota Nurses Association this week. The first heart surgeon at St. Luke's Hospital has retired after 20 years. According to a Northern News Now report, Dr. Mary Boylan is stepping down as chief of cardiothoracic surgery after becoming the healthcare organization's first heart surgeon in 2003. A number of other medical professionals, as well as a bunch of former patients, made appearances at St. Luke's on her final day to thank her and give her a proper send-off. Dr. Boylan will remain active in retirement and work with the American Heart Association. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If the music to Beyoncé's new country song, Texas Hold'em, sounds familiar, it might be because you were a fan of the cartoon Franklin growing up. Some fans thought the singer sampled the show's music, which probably had professional samplers Vanilla Ice and Kid Rock jealous. Social mediaites were all over the spectrum, with some implying theft and some saying there's only a vague similarity. Franklin theme song composer Bruce Coburn weighed in saying that the song shares only a similarity in rhythmic feel, but that it's all Beyoncé's. The song made Beyoncé the first ever black woman to reach the top of the country charts. Joyce Lipinski, widow of Richard Lewis, took to social media to thank fans on Twix for the loving tributes to her hilarious husband who passed away last week. Deadline reported that Lipinski encouraged those who miss her husband to honor him by donating to his charity, ComedyGivesBack.com. Lewis will be missed. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a scattered shower or sprinkle possible by later this afternoon. Our high today, 45, with wind southwest becoming northwesterly at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 20. Tomorrow, sunshine, 44. By Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 47. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now, 37.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is a Monday, that's for sure, March 4th, 2024, 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along on the show. Want to get to some state, I guess, news-ish. State observation, maybe a better way of looking at it over the weekend. The great show Upfront, which airs across the state. It originates out of WISN out of Milwaukee, but it appears on other affiliates throughout the state. And they decided to take a look at the Biden and the Trump campaign. And they apparently invited in representatives of said campaigns, which, of course, is absolutely normal. And people do it all the time. You call up and you say, hey, we're going to do this story and we're inviting someone. You know, we would love to have the candidate, obviously, but if there's a surrogate that would like to come on the show, we would welcome them. Happens all the time. So on WISN and on Upfront, the program across the state this weekend, they invited in a Biden representative and a Trump representative. And I want to play these two clips for you and discuss a little bit. So the first one on Upfront, this is Malcolm Kenyatta, who they list as a Biden campaign national advisory board. He apparently is a Pennsylvania state representative. Now, again, I'm not quite sure why the Biden folks chose to send somebody from Pennsylvania to Wisconsin to represent the campaign, but they did. So this is Malcolm Kenyatta, Biden campaign national advisory board member, being interviewed on Upfront over the weekend.
Latest Marquette Law School poll provides some insight on where black voters in Wisconsin are at the moment right now. In a hypothetical Trump-Biden matchup, Biden 54, Trump 24, not decided 22. So there's 46% of black voters who say either Trump or they're not decided. Why do you think that is?
You know what? Listen, I don't spend a lot of time looking at polls. The polls have the polls show you one thing, but what we have to look at is the results of actual elections. And when we look at the elections, special election after special election after special election, Democrats have done a lot better than any of the polls said.
Is this a challenge, though?
I think every single day you wake up and you ask people for their votes. I am not. This is what I understand. This is going to be a close election no matter what way you slice it. I think this campaign understands that. The president understands it. But what I'm confident about is the president has a message that will resonate with folks because it's a message that's about building on the success that we've seen in this administration.
All right. So that was the clip from Malcolm Kenyatta, Biden campaign national advisory board member, who is a Pennsylvania state representative. And the point that the folks on Upfront were making from this Marquette Law School poll was that when polled, black voters in Wisconsin said that the 54% would vote for Biden, 24% Trump, and 22% had not yet decided. Which, again, I get it. I mean, the guy apparently is a Pennsylvania state representative. I was going to say, if you're not used to being interviewed by the press, you know, it could get nerve-wracking. But to just sit there and kind of stumble around and say, well, I know I'm not really believe in polls or whatnot. I mean, over the weekend, it broke that the Trump campaign is using artificial intelligence to place himself in the middle of photos with black American voters, trying to drum up the black vote. What about mentioning that the president of the United States was in Wisconsin recently and built a billion-dollar bridge in Superior that helps all Wisconsinites, regardless of your ethnicity? How about talking about the fact that there have been more jobs created under this president than the past five administrations combined? The unemployment is at a record low, that the United States is lowering inflation faster than any democracy in the world. And that affects not just black voters, but all voters. I mean, I would hope that the Biden folks would be a little more prepared when they go on TV.
Yeah, that was honestly sad and thoroughly underwhelming.
Yes. Now, let's play the Trump surrogate for you. This, let me get to my notes here very quickly. Let's see. Here is the Trump spokesperson. I'm not sure which one came on first here, but this is the Trump spokesperson on the same program on WISN Upfront. And this is Carolyn Leavitt, I believe, is the name here. I'll get it for you in a second. Listen to the
cut. That's correct, yeah.
Carolyn Leavitt talking about representing Trump on Upfront over this weekend.
Caroline, I want to play some comments here from Nikki Haley, looking at to the general and even key states like Wisconsin. She said this past week. Take a listen.
I think you look at any of the early states. Yes, he won those. I give him that. But he did not get 40% of the Republican primary vote. You can't win a general election without the 40%. But look at the polls. The Marquette poll came out last week. I mean, in all the polls, he's down by 5. He's down by 7. Marquette had a margin of error. I defeat Joe Biden by 18 points.
So to that point, she has a much greater lead over former President Donald Trump, even in a hypothetical head-to-head matchup with President Biden here in Wisconsin.
Well, first of all, that's one poll of many. There are far more polls showing President Trump beating Joe Biden in Wisconsin and in many other battleground states across this country, and also in national polling as well. To Nikki Haley's specific comments about the Republican Party, you can't win a general election if you don't have the majority support of your own voters, and Nikki Haley clearly does not have that. She has no mathematical pathway to the Republican nomination. Her campaign is at this point an utter waste of time and resources. So we're going to, again, focus our energy on winning over independents, winning over key demographics in swing states like yours of Wisconsin, so that we can defeat Joe Biden in November.
And to that, Nikki Haley wrote in the Chicago Tribune Friday morning, Trump is dividing our country when we need to unite. He calls his opponents venom. He threatens people who don't support him. He has driven away suburban voters, contributing to Republican losses in 18, 20, and 22. I'm curious to that point about independent and swing voters in key states like Wisconsin. What is the plan to win those voters back?
There's a very simple question that we will continue to pose to independent voters who may not know who they're going to vote for in November. And that is this: are you better off today, or were you better off 4 years ago under the Trump administration?
Now, there you go. There's Carolyn Leavitt, the Trump campaign national press secretary.
She was prepared for the obvious questions they were going to ask and had put together answers for them. Easy. Yeah. Like, what? That's what you should do as a spokesperson.
Right? I mean, one of those representatives did not help their candidate. The other one did. And this is, I wanted to play those clips for you to give you a tangible example when people tell me or call and say, well, there's no way that Trump can win. Actually, there is. And you, again, in 2016, Trump was, his campaign was a bunch of political misfit toys. They are a bunch of goofballs running that campaign. And they stumbled into a victory. In 2020, it was kind of a mix. But in 2024, despite the atrocious, ridiculous, racist, repulsive things that Trump says and does, despite having 91 indictments against him, despite being a convicted rapist, his team that he has behind him is like this Carolyn Leavitt. Experienced, knows politics, has their stuff together, is articulate, and says all the right things. And that is the mechanism that is behind the chaos of Trump. And that is why he has a legitimate chance to win. And that is why it is so incumbent upon everyone who does not believe in Trump or Trumpism to create a coalition against him in order to save democracy. I don't care whether you're a socialist. I don't care whether you're progressive, a Democrat, a conservative, a Democrat, a libertarian, an independent, or a thoughtful, principled Republican. If you are opposed to Trumpism and Donald Trump, welcome to the coalition against him to save democracy. That is where we're at right now. And for people to think they're going to sit out or send Joe Biden a message and vote for Jill Stein or whoever, please. Any vote that is not for Joe Biden is a vote for Donald Trump. And with people like we just played behind him, he has a legitimate shot. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Dick in Madison. Dick, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, I got a little different take on it. After about a week and a half ago, I saw the small donor thing, and he doesn't expand anything. I'm talking about Trump now, his base. And I honestly think that it, you know, way better than I do, that we're light years from an election, politically speaking. You know what I mean? And this stuff is starting to break the president's way insofar as the numbers with the economy, and it has to sink in a little bit with people. They're a little slow on that, and I don't think everybody pays us. And I'm just not a great believer in the polls in general anymore. However,
go ahead.
You got to give Trump credit for one thing. He at least acknowledged that Nancy Pelosi, the first Democrat ever to win the Republican vote in D.C. this weekend.
That's good. I like that one, Dick. A little
take. I wish I could say it was mine, but I heard that. And you know, but all of his gaffes, too. Uh-oh. When he's really out there in the spotlight and you're really focusing on him, he had some whoppers again this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, what was one of them?
He called Biden.
Argentina.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Argentina's a great guy.
Right, right. But he also confused Biden with Obama again over the weekend. And people don't want to report that. Yeah.
Well, they're going to have to when it's narrowed down to just the two of them.
But that's the point, Dick. I just talked with a friend over the weekend about this. I think that there is reticence on both sides and independents alike. People don't want the same matchup. And they're still hoping that somehow it's going to be a different matchup. Well, it's not going to be a different matchup. It's going to be Trump v. Biden again. And I think when people understand that that is the choice, I think people are going to pick democracy and compassion and legitimacy over back crap crazy Trump. That's just my point. As Karen Hughes, former W. Bush communication director, is fond of saying, every election comes down to a choice and perfect is not on the ballot. And I think when it comes down to a choice between another 4 years of crazy Trump or four more years of Joe Biden, I still believe that most Americans will pick Biden. That's just my take.
Yeah, and you got to hope that the Biden people will start refreshing people's memory about just how crazy and how bad it was.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the point.
Everything down the line, it was just, Todd, it was terrible.
Yeah.
We both know it.
Right. Well, we'll be around to help remind people. Thanks a lot, Dick. I appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Wisco Paul. Wisco, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. That two clips you played earlier was kind of scary. The Trump lady out hit the Obama, the Biden guy, every which way but loose. It's kind of spooky. But the polls I read this morning, it really comes down to 5 to 6 states. Biden is still down in all of them. I don't know how that can be, but he's still down in all of them. A lot of it has to do with his age factor, and that's very concerning to people. I think Biden needs to get out there and lean into his age, and they need to change what they're doing. Because when you're talking 5, 6 states, anything can happen in the last 2 months of the campaign. So that's all I'm saying.
Wisco,
all right, thanks, Todd.
Appreciate it, Wisco. Thank you so much. Appreciate it calling in. Wisco Paul, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. As Charles Franklin, the director of the Great Marquette Law School poll, always says, he says, look, this is just a snapshot in time. And remember, polls don't vote. People do. So that's the key here. These are snapshots in time. And again, I don't think that people are fully dialed in and willing to admit to themselves, whether we like it or not, it is going to be Trump v. Biden. And I think when people finally realize those are the choices, I still believe that more people will choose Joe Biden than Donald Trump. That is my belief. We shall see. 855-752-4842. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere, including news on Andre Jacques. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Buzz of the North, WBZH, and the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the wonderful Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show, taking over these airwaves every afternoon, 2 until 4. Maggie, getting your first week of shows underway. Great shows indeed. Encourage you to stick around after the news and weather and sports at the top of the hour. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up right here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Want to go to state politics now, and again from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lawrence Andrea, busy guy this Lawrence Andrea, writing a lot of stuff over the weekend. In case you did not hear, big news from the 8th Congressional District. Big is the key word. Over the weekend, State Senator Andre Jacques considered and announced this morning, apparently, that he is running for Congress, setting up a primary race for the northeastern Wisconsin House seat left open by the impending retirement of Representative Mike Gallagher. Jacques, a DePere Republican, said in his launch that he wanted to, quote, deliver wins for the conservative cause, unquote, in running for higher office. He cast the nascent primary as, quote, a contrast of the grassroots and really conservatives versus the establishment, unquote. He went on to say, quote, nobody is going to outwork me. He said this morning on the regular Joe show. He said, quote, I want to bring that to the next level because there are a lot of problems to fix in D.C., unquote. The announcement means there will, in fact, be a Republican primary for the state's solidly red 8th Congressional District. Former state senator Roger Roth, an Appleton Republican, launched his own show. Wouldn't that be fantastic if he did? Launched his own campaign for the seat just hours after Gallagher said he would not seek re-election in November. And then there's the young upstart, Alex Brusewitz, a GOP consultant closely aligned with former President Donald Trump, is also considering a run. He's originally from Wisconsin, but lives in Florida. But here's the thing: if precedent follows suit, you would think this Alex Brusewitz kid, a Floridian, is a perfect person to run for Congress, right along with OC Eric Hovde, a Californian, for the United States Senate.
You'd think so.
I mean, the more people from out of state you could get to run as Republicans, it seems, the better off they are. Now, Jacques, 44, has represented Wisconsin's first Senate district since 2019. His district stretches from Appleton and northern Calumet County up through Door County. He previously served in the state assembly from 2011 to 2019. On Monday, that's today, Jacques touted his conservative bona fides. He noted his opposition to abortion, saying his, quote, political identity kind of formed around the pro-life issue, unquote, and called the situation at the U.S.-Mexico border a centerpiece of Republican campaigns, an existential threat, he said, quote unquote. He highlighted legislation. He backed the aim to stop sanctuary cities, and he supports building the border wall. So this is fantastic. And here's why. Because you've got at least two, and there's a chance three Republicans are going to be in this primary in the 8th Congressional District. And in order to win this congressional primary up there in Northeast Wisconsin, they're going to have to out-conservative each other. So what you're going to have here are three dudes trying to express how much they want to control women's bodies. Well, I want abortion. Well, I want abortion even more. Well, I want abortion even more than you. And they're going to be, it's going to be a primary campaign filled with misogyny and masculinity and hate. And that's what the Republicans are going to offer you up there in Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin. So I'm really hoping that I think there are three different women who are considering running on the Democratic side. And I think this sets up perfectly for an upset election up there in the 8th Congressional District. Because if you have a reasonable Democratic person, probably going to be a woman, up against someone who had to come through a brutal Republican primary trying to out right-wing each other, I think the Democrat is going to look like they're sane, like they're actually a sane person. Because remember, here's the thing I know about Andre Jacques, a couple of things. Number one, he refused to take the COVID vaccine because he's a Trumpster. And, you know, I guess he was all for Ivermectin, whatever that horse drug is.
Ivermectin.
Thank you. Yeah. Ivermectin. He's all for horse drugs or whatever to stop the COVID.
Whatever you call it, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. But Trump said it did. And so, you know, he said, I don't need the vaccine. And he happens to be a rotund man. Well, he didn't get the vaccine, but what he did get was COVID. And it landed him in a hospital on a respirator, and the poor guy nearly died. And there's nothing funny about that. But the fact that he did it to himself, and apparently was for the horse drugs, but here's the thing he's not for. And this is very important if you're an 8th Congressional District voter. He is not for bestiality. And the guy authored a bill because they had a problem up there with some goofball who was getting frisky with the horses. And that rubbed Andre Jacques the wrong way. And so he introduced, and apparently in Wisconsin, at least at the time, bestiality with a horse was not illegal. And so the cops said, we can't arrest him because it's not against the law, technically. So Andre Jacques authored a bill to technically outlaw bestiality with horses. And Robin Voss, the speaker, wouldn't put it on the floor. And he blamed, Andre Jacques did, on his first loss in the state Senate race to a Democrat. I believe Frost was the last name. And he and his brother Jacques, they blamed that loss on the fact that Robin Voss wouldn't let Jacques' bestiality bill go to the floor and pass at the time. So, if you're pro ivermectin, or what is it?
Ivermectin.
Thank you. If you're pro ivermectin, the horse drug, but you're anti bestiality with horses, and you don't want women to have any control over their own bodies, then Andre Jacques is the person for you. Run, don't walk to the ballot box to vote for big Andre Jacques.
If you like horses, but not that much, Andre Jacques, the guy for you.
They should clip that and run that. You just gave the Andre Jacques people a great primary ad. That was a great way to end the show. I'm not horsing around. It's going to be quite the race up there in the old eight. Hang on to your seatbelts. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn next. The news starts now. For Aaron Sommers, I'm Todd Allball. Keep banging your drums. See you tomorrow.
And your day will come. Banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Coming up Tuesday on Matt and Air On Air, Fancy Brian Kelly joins us to kick around the news. In hour number two, all things Wisconsin with the fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air On Air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt and Air On Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Former President Trump on a ruling today by the U.S. Supreme Court. The justices overturning a decision.